Welcome to the eighth episode of Winning Ugly. I'm your host, as always, Jake Zaleski. And with me, my good friend, our guest host for the second week in a row, we have my good friend, Scott. Hello, Scott.
What's up, Jake? It's good to be back once again. Wish we had better results, but it's always good to talk White Sox baseball with you.
Always great to have you. I think that's the only thing that probably bring up my mood right now. but anyways, here we are sitting June 12th, about 6 p.m. Central Time. Just kind of sat in front of a TV and just moped for about 4.5 hours watching these White Sox as they take the loss 8-6 in the 12th inning, no less. And also, nonetheless, by a Luis Robert base running error. What a fitting way to end such a shit game. I mean, Jesus Christ.
How unbelievable was that? Like, I love Luis. I love that he's trying to take the extra base. But in that situation, your run does not matter. Like, if you're the tying run, maybe I understand that. But even then, I don't, because base hit in the outfield scores you, right? Because you're that fast. I just didn't understand that play. I don't know. It was dumbfounding.
Have you seen yet? I've been looking around on Twitter. I don't know if anyone's even cared that much, because I will say it doesn't really matter, but this is just me being an asshole. Have you seen at all if Joe McEwing told him to go, or if it was only Luis?
I haven't seen anything, but just based on Joe's reaction, I feel like he wasn't. I feel like he did not tell him to go, because like when he told him to slide, he just kind of like laid on the ground after, like he was like, what the fuck are you doing sort of thing. So I did not see anything, but I could be wrong. I haven't really looked at Twitter much since the game ended.
As much as Joe has made some questionable decisions this season, I think I'm inclined to believe he wouldn't send Luis in that situation, because it just kind of seems like a no-brainer, obviously, because why the hell would you run? You're a meaningless run.
Right.
I don't know.
I feel like Joe's getting a lot of flack, and rightfully so. He's had some really, really bad calls. But at the same time, I like him being aggressive to a certain extent. Well, going back to like the Yaz game thrown out by like 30 feet, like that was a bad call. But I like when he's aggressive and like guys get thrown out on good throws. I'm okay with that. Be aggressive, try getting those runs, because goddamn, we need them, because we can't hit the baseball.
I completely agree too. And I definitely, let's not let that completely overshadow the main storyline of this game too, was Kopech going down after, I think, 13 pitches. Didn't look good. Said right knee discomfort. I think, PT Scott can agree that you much rather would want ankle issues there instead of knee discomfort.
Correct. I was actually watching the post game right before we hopped on. He actually said in the post game, and I quote, there's no structural damage. So that's really good. Something that could have happened, he could have had an impingement in his knee, felt a pop, it happens. That certainly happens with the human body. So as long as he can just, stay healthy, start feeling better in a couple of days, he maybe misses one start. I doubt it though. I think he'll probably start next outing, but it looks like we officially have Lance Lynn tomorrow. Officially.
Yeah. Lynn and then, Cease Tuesday. And I have to say, going back to me being an asshole, I really wish somehow Dylan Cease made his way into this game, because it just means that we're closer to La Russa getting fired, because then we'd have, I don't know, like Andrew Vaughn going Tuesday.
I was dumbfounded by that, and I don't really understand what it was. Like, I was like, oh, maybe it's just like a bullpen. But like, he warmed up for quite some time, and usually guys don't throw bullpens during games, obviously. Usually it's before the game. Maybe he couldn't get in it. I don't know. I thought it was kind of dumb. But, if that would have been the way that Tony went out, I would have signed up for it 10 times out of 10, because I am ready for him to be done. But I feel like we can't gloss over these last two series. I feel like we got to talk about them a little bit, even though we're a little disappointed.
Yeah, I'm seeing Mark Gonzalez saying that Cease wasn't going to pitch today.
Okay.
I have no idea what was going on then.
Maybe he didn't get his bullpen in. Maybe they were like, oh, at the absolute worst, we'll throw Cease. I don't really know. I have no answers to that, but okay, let's that's good, I guess. I don't know.
Anyways,
I don't know how to transition. Yeah, I don't know how to.
I don't know.
I don't know what was going on then. Did he just want to just go visit the bullpen, see how it was to warm up in the bullpen during game? I don't fucking know. That's so weird.
Was it I genuinely think I'm going to believe that La Russa had a complete like old man geriatric brain fart and like get Dylan going, and the bullpen coach was like, did he actually just say Dylan? Like, am I actually about to warm up Dylan Cease right now?
It's like that I don't know if you've ever seen that prank video, the prank call where they somehow found the college's bullpen number and called, and they're like, hey, get this guy warming up. And it's like, he's not in the bullpen. And then all of a sudden they're like, don't care, get him up. And then you see him sprinting down to warm up. Like, maybe that happened? I'm not sure.
I almost forgot about that video, too. I'm going to have to watch that after this episode. Oh, my God.
Maybe we had that. Maybe people got the number. I don't know.
You know, I actually like that theory better. Let's run with that one, then.
I'm going to run with that one. Let's do it. That got our hopes up a little bit. That's great. All righty. Let's do this. Let's talk some really bad baseball.
Oh, my God. All right. So, bring it back to the Dodgers series. I think everyone was pretty hyped after that series opener. Sox take the win 4-0. Uh-huh. If I am recalling this game.
By the way.
Okay, great. Then I think you'd be the best to break this down then, because honestly, I started work last week and my week was completely hectic. So just take it over.
Yeah, really good game for the Sox. I can't even remember who pitched for us. Is that Kopech? Kopech pitched, right?
Yes,
I think he shoved. Kopech. Yeah, Kopech pitched, completely shoved. Bullpen looked good. The guys finally figured out the bats in 6th, 7th inning. I can't remember which one it was. Honestly, it was a good game. I was very, very pleased. AJ Pollock came in, had a huge, huge, huge RBI double, 2 RBI double that broke the tie. It was a huge win, but then, you know, every time we get that momentum, like we talked about last time, something major happens where it's like, what the fuck happened to this team? And that, of course, happened again with the next two games, you know, dropping both of those.
Yeah, I will say, because I'm just checking that, Kopech, 6 innings, 8 Ks, one ball, one baseball balls.
And then a couple hits, right?
Yeah, 2 hits, it looks like. Yeah. Then we go to Wednesday, 4-1, just a typical lack of offense from the Sox side, 1 in the 5th. But looks like top that's a Dodgers lineup.
Gosselin pitched that game, right? He pretty much shoved that whole game. And he pitched really well, and you got to give it to him. But was that the game that – wasn't Lurie up in the top of the order one of the games? I don't know.
I was just about to say, yeah.
Okay, Lurie game. Okay, I was going to say, there's just been so many games that it's like been like, oh, Lurie Garcia is batting 4th this game for what fucking reason? All right.
Big tell of that game. You insert Lurie Garcia into the leadoff position, and all of a sudden the top 4 in the lineup all went 0-15 in that game. Oh, so that was all nice. Granted, Gonsolin was on. That guy is hot as hell, you know, but not going to win you many ball games. I know Cueto gave up 3, I think, pretty early on in this outing, but then he ended up turning some very solid innings.
I think he's still got a quality start out of that, which is crazy. And he hasn't been – I don't think he's been that bad for us. He's getting hit around, but he's getting out of his stuff, which is crazy.
So then let's go on to the flashpoint, right? The Thursday, 11-9 Dodgers win the game, but obviously every Sox fan knows – what happened in the top of the 6th or is it the 5th?
So I'm not too sure. So I went to golf at one point and I got a message from a couple people in our group chat and they were like, did Tony really just walk in? And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, Tony just walked a guy on a 1-2 count with 2 outs. I said, no, he fucking didn't. There's no way somebody is dumb enough to walk somebody on a 1-2 count with 2 outs. But sure enough, he did it. And Jake, I always come with stats. Are you ready for these stats?
I've been looking forward to this for the last 2 hours. Yes, I'm ready.
Perfect. So it's a 1-2 count. It's an 0-2 count. There's a pass ball. Freeman goes to second. We intentionally walk Trey Turner. To bring up Max Muncy. Max Muncy in his career historically has hit lefties better than he hits righties. And that is a proven point. You can't argue with it. The only year that he hasn't hit lefties better was this year, and that's also been because he's been hurt basically all year. So he doesn't have like a huge sample size for that. But you know, hasn't hit lefties all that, hasn't hit righties all that well this year, hit lefties better. Bennett Souza, who we were pitching, you know, Tony is a dinosaur, loves lefty-lefty matchups, will do anything in his power to get those. I'm just going to read you off his splits here. So against righties, righties are hitting 220, 313, 390 against Bennett Souza. A lefty against Bennett Souza is hitting 364 with an on-base percentage of 436 with a slugging percentage of 515. But Tony says he likes the lefty-lefty matchup. And it came back to bite us in the game yesterday as well. He brought in a lefty-lefty matchup for two guys in, what was that, the 10th maybe? I don't remember what inning it was. He gave up two runs, and that was that. So, like, Bennett Souza has been pitching horribly against lefties, but yet Tony is so dumbfounded and is so old and archaic that he thinks that a lefty pitcher is always good against a lefty batter, and that is not the case whatsoever.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, I mean, you basically domed. I was aim yesterday. I mean, even with that Muncy home run, I was in the middle of training, and I was sitting on my screen and porch, and I had the game on in my den, which I can't see it immediately, but I turned off the volume. I would kind of peek my head around the corner every, like, 15 minutes whenever I get the chance. And I remember it was I think we got up 4-0, and then I saw the Dodgers were threatening. I also saw there was two outs as well. I think 4-2 or 4-1. 4-2. Yes, 4-2. So the next time I look at the screen, it's 6-5 over to the top of the seventh. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And the next day I look, it's 10-5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, then when I found out, I texted Evan. I was like, holy shit, LaRusso just did that. But then to go to, you know, Bennett Souza, I was at the game yesterday, and I believe it was Brad Miller in extra innings who, or not extra innings,
Cole Calhoun.
In the eighth inning. Cole Calhoun, you're right.
Cole Calhoun, yeah.
I was a little inebriated, so, you know, Brad Miller must have been looking like Cole Calhoun to me, but that's beside the point.
They're both lefties. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Potato, potato. I mean, that was my immediate thought after I saw Cole Calhoun driving those runs was, man, Bennett Souza's splits against lefties cannot be good. In 1 week, he's given up crucial game losing damn near RBIs to lefties. With it being such a flashpoint with Turner being walked with a 1-2 count.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable.
And I will give it to Tony because Trey Turner is an absolute monster of a human being. He's been killing the ball the last, it seems like, almost 4 years. Like, he's been just murdering everything. But to walk a guy 1-2 up in the count, and where Steve Stone basically just said they are walking Trey Turner, and Benetti goes, why would they? They're walking him on 1-2, and Stoney just said, yep. And there was a silence for 15 seconds in that broadcast. Somebody tweeted after the game. They're like, I want to know what Steve Stone and Jason said when the mics were off about that intentional walk. And Steve Stone just replied, you probably know what we just said. That's how dumbfounded it was. And, like, you know, going into the season, I was like, managers don't matter. They don't affect your team for the good or the worse. Tony La Russa affects this team for the worse. I am here to say that Tony La Russa is the reason that we have lost multiple games this year. And that's, like, I don't think anybody can argue that with me. And there's still Tony defenders out here acting like he's good. Look, my dad said a great analogy today. I love Michael Jordan. He's the greatest player of all time, but I do not want Michael Jordan on my basketball team right now because he's old. La Russa has been a great manager. He is a Hall of Fame manager for a reason. He's a great baseball mind. The game has passed him. This is a different game than 1980, 1990, and early 2000s. This game has shifted more analytically, which the one game that the Sox won against the Rangers, guess what happened? We played analytics. We started with an opener. That has never happened in the last couple of years, if I can remember correctly. And correct me if I'm wrong. Right. We had an opener. Raylo came in, pitched great. Davis Martin came in, pitched great. And Tony, after the game, was like, oh, yeah, I guess I should probably thank my analytics department. Well, don't you fucking think? Like, this game has passed him by. It is completely gone in his mind. He's still playing it like he's in 1980, and like it's dumbfounding that we messed up this hire so fucking badly.
You know, I was actually, I had some shower thoughts about a good manager analogy. I want to run this one by you.
Okay.
I'm sure it's not original or anything, but I think it applies to this team, is that great managers give your team more wins, put your team in a position to succeed. Bad managers lose you games. Mm-hmm. They put players in a position not to succeed, but fail. Good managers get the hell out of the way of their team. They are not noticeable in terms of impact on the game or anything like that, because they put their team in the best position to succeed without adding any extra value to the team. That's what a good manager does.
Correct.
Tony La Russa has not been a good manager at all. You can, you know, he has his division title from last year. That's what all, you know, the TLR truthers will say.
Yep.
Yeah, the division title. You know, I won't necessarily put all of the blame on him for this playoff series, the Houston Nationals playoff series last year.
I still think wrong team. Like, if you play any other team in the first round, you advance. They advance. That's the only team that they couldn't see in the first round, and they saw him. The only thing that you could probably argue with Tony in that sense is that, like, he was punting away Sunday games when you already won the series. Like, that may be the only thing, because then you could have maybe gotten number one seed, got a better team to play. But even so, you can't really blame Tony for that one. I will agree with that.
100%. And I even, to a point as well, I'm not sure even necessarily I blame Tony for yesterday's loss either. And I know, Scott, you disagree with me. But I was at the game, and I know there was multiple guys not available. Also, side note, Liam Hendricks has been available for the last, like, 72 hours. Is he okay?
I don't know. I don't know where he's been. I don't know. Maybe he's nursing something super minor, and they don't want to give him on the IL. Because we had the same question for Bummer. Bummer was nowhere to be seen for 4 days, and now they just IL'd him today. So I don't know if Liam has something slight going on. Maybe he, you know, it looked like he was limping the one day. Maybe he rolled an ankle, and they're just letting him nurse it for a bit and not using him. But Liam Hendricks needs to be in that ball game today. I don't know why he's not available. If he's not available, we have to IL him. We have to bring up guys that can throw, like, do something different, and they haven't done anything different.
Evan dropped the name of a minor league relief pitcher to me today, Hunter Shriver, or is that how you pronounce it? But he said he's been dealing in AAA. If he was here, I'd have him explain it. He'd probably be all about him and have all his stats. But yeah, Hunter Shriver, this guy is in AAA currently.
Okay.
He's a lefty as well. Yes, lefty currently. 0.62 whip over 12 innings pitched, 14 strikeouts, 2.38 ERA.
Okay.
That sounds like a guy who can throw to me. Obviously, it's only 11 innings pitched, but it is 12 appearances, and he also have one save to his tally as well.
Okay.
I would focus more on this, but, you know, I got to give it to Tanner Banks today. As much as I hate on him, he looked really good today. He started off the inning really bad, led on two base runners, then struck out the side. I thought he looked really sharp.
Yeah, no, he didn't pitch bad. I mean, he's a quadruple A guy. He's never going to be good enough for the MLB, but he's a little bit too good for the triple A, I would say. You know, I thought he gave us good innings, and I will take good innings out of anything. Sorry, I just saw a meme of Tony morphing into Matt Nagy's face. That's very, very good. But yeah, he gave us good innings. I just feel like we need all the help that we can get in that bullpen right now. It doesn't help that we don't have Joe Kelly. It doesn't help that we don't have Bummer. Graveman looked all right today. He got out of it, a clean inning. So, I mean, I don't know where this team goes from here. They have to make some sort of change. Whether that starts with Ozzy, Tony, I'm sorry, I'm looking at a video of Ozzy saying that whoever came up with exit velocity should be in jail. People want him as manager. Okay. Whether that starts with Tony or somebody else, like a Medicino, I don't really know, but something needs to change with this team, and quickly, because it is embarrassing.
By the way, Fire Tony trending on Twitter right now, about 1,500 tweets.
Yes. Here, I'm just going to put hashtag Fire Tony really quick. Okay.
just go ahead and contribute to that.
Yeah. Yep. But anyway, I mean, the team still has talent, and that's the crazy part. And we talked about it last week that, like, this division isn't, like, it's not like we're going to lose this division by a lot. I still think it's a winnable division, but if you keep trotting out this guy and letting him make roster lineups, which I don't think he is anymore. I think Hans basically making the lineups at this point. If you keep letting Tony make the decisions for this team, we are not going anywhere, and we are not going to make the playoffs. And quite honestly, our window is going to shut rather quickly, because you're going to lose a lot of guys here quickly. You're going to, like, I think, like, guys like Giolito will just be fed up and be like, let me leave, right? I mean, I don't know.
You know, when TLR got hired 2 years ago, I was optimistic about it, as I am usually about the Sox. Even with them being awful today, I still a little bit optimistic. I was just like, okay, well, this guy is a master culture catalyst, right? You know, like these championship teams he's had in St. Louis, like they had an amazing, amazing culture. He's known for that. More or less than, you know, obviously he was known for his bullpen management as well in games, but he's known for really creating family. And I think Jake Berger had a quote yesterday saying that, like, about the Fire Tony chance going, that, like, oh yeah, we're a family, we're gonna stick together, like, through everything, like, and we're, you know, we all that kind of stuff, we have a tight-knit clubhouse, all that kind of bullshit, whatever. So that was my big optimism coming into TLR's tenure, is that, okay, he can be a culture guy, but at this point, I'm just like, there could be great culture right now. We are not winning fucking baseball games, and I don't, like, whatever you're doing is not working. So some shit has to change.
You know who had a great culture?
Ricky Renteria.
Ricky Renteria. Like, a great guy. I love Ricky. He's an awesome human being from what everybody said, but he was a shit manager. And yes, they kind of, you know, let him off easy to bring in Tony, like, he, you know, it sucks for him because he had to go through those really shitty years and kind of just knew after that 2020 season, I'm fucked. But at the same time, like, you have to make a move that's a win now move. And Tony wasn't that win now move. There's other guys that were out there that were win now moves. And now look at them, like Boston bringing, you know, Cora, you know, the Tigers. I loved AJ Hinch coming out with the Tigers, but, you know, we made the move to bring in a guy that's 75 years old, and that the only reason why we brought him in was to fix a mistake that happened 30 years ago. So that's what we did, I guess.
I think that's actually a pretty good transition then into some winning ugly Sox mail. So let's have a little fun before we just tear this team back down again, Scott. How about it?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to start off. We have two suggestions from our lovely Twitter fans here in our comments on winning ugly Sox mail. First one comes from Timagoat7, the second appearance on this.
My boy.
He asks, do your rankings for White Sox managers since 2000. So there's been five managers for the White Sox.
Actually, technically we can count six because Don Cooper coached in two games if we want to count
that. I was about to ask if you noticed that. And I, if you didn't, I was going to throw the curveball at the end.
honestly, you can also count Miguel Cairo because he coached in the Field of Dreams game last year with Tony. So, I mean, technically we could count seven. We'll count 100%. Five, though. Let's count the five.
All right, you want to go from shit to good or from good to shit?
Ooh, let's go. Fuck, this is so tough. Let's go good to shit, I feel like. I feel like we got to go that way.
Okay, good to shit. So I'm going to go ahead and just rattle them off. You can rattle them off, then we can just talk about the differences we got and also just kind of relive a little bit. We'll have a little, good little time with this. So number one, pretty obvious, Ozzie Guillen, manager over 7 years, winning percentage 524. World Series 2005, not too much debate there. Number two, you know, it's for me, it's between actually probably La Russa and this Jerry Manuel guy, which both of us have agreed that we don't know who Jerry Manuel is, but since TLR is just pissing me off so much, I'm going number two Jerry Manuel and number three Tony La Russa. Number four, I'm gonna go Ricky Renteria, and number five, I'm gonna go our good old friend, the man who's guided me through my teenage years, Robin Ventura.
Okay. This is really sad that Ozzie Guillen was our best manager in the last 22 years. Let me just put that into perspective. It's going to be Ozzie for me. Is it Jerry Manuel? Well, is that how you say his name? That'll be number two. Honestly, you can stone me to death. I don't care. Ricky Renneria is better than Tony La Russa is right now. I don't care if Tony had that one season with the 93 wins because talent always prevails, except this year because talent isn't there. And, you know, we've talked about that. Then I'll go Tony because nobody is worse than Robin Ventura was for this White Sox team. I mean, like, I'm just looking at this. Second, fifth, fourth, 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 fourth for Robin Ventura. That is so bad.
Robin Ventura, I remember this so distinctly. Hawk, legit, and Stoney, honestly, a lot of times on broadcast, they were outrightly like talk shit about Robin Ventura. Yeah. Like, yeah. Hawk would back him up because Robin would get like pissed a lot at umpires and he'd like yell at him, whatever. And I also think he maybe had a soft spot for him too, because obviously he was a great player for the Sox. But man, like when Robin would have his classic shitty, I don't know, puts out a shitty lineup on a Sunday, or he has a classic awful pinch hitting choice, bullpen management, whatever you want to do. I mean, Hawk would just go silent for 3 innings. Yeah, and all those yep. 3 innings, there'd be like, you know, 5 runs by the opposing team or some shit like that. And you just have radio silence on this broadcast.
I feel like we glossed over something really big, and it goes back to this like radio silence. Yesterday's game, you were at that one, right? Correct? Yep. Okay. Yesterday's game on the broadcast went silent for 15 seconds when they started chanting "Fire Tony." Mm. They went completely silent. Did you see the video at all?
I did not.
Stoney, Stoney and Jason did not say a word for 15, 20 seconds, and you could hear it. Like, it was loud. Was it super loud in the stadium for that one? Or did you already leave at that point? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Scott, you know, it's funny, actually. I was in, because I was right down the third base line by the foul pole. Yeah. And I was like right in the pen with basically, or I was right in like the trenches of where that chant started. And you know, it's a really, really like huge, like loud chant when it's all the sections behind home plate doing it. Yeah. And it was literally
like the season ticket holders.
Exactly. Because like the bleacher chants, any shit that gets going out there, and like it's only really them.
There's some creatures out there. All, yeah.
Sure, exactly. But when it's the Diamond Club people and right down the lines chanting, that's a legit chant. And that is some pissed off fans. Personally, I didn't really chant. I'm not too much of a big chanter at games. And I was kind of just sitting there just being depressed. But I was observing. And man, it was a it was a moment. You could feel it was a flashpoint. I mean, people were pissed.
Like, I understand people's perspective saying, like, you know, Tony isn't the one that has a bat in his hand. Correct. I agree with that. However, he has done so many dumbfounded mistakes that, like, you shouldn't be in this situation. Like, you know, bringing in Benintzuza when he hasn't faced lefties well, or batting Lurie Garcia second or first in the lineup, whatever it was. Like, I don't know what goes through his fucking brain of his, what goes through that skull, but it has to be like, I don't even know. Like, I just imagine like the monkeys like banging the whatever they're, I don't know what they are. Are they like the symbols? Yeah, they're just banging the symbols in his head when he's trying to make a decision. It's clear that the game has passed by. It's clear that something needs to change, because this isn't right. We should not be sitting here on June 12th, 2022 with a Chicago White Sox 4 games back of 500.
This actually leads us into our second. This perfectly leads us into our second Sox mail question from Matt Visser 3 on Twitter. When does Tony get fired? And thoughts on the 1-2 intentional walk. We already said the 1-2 intentional walk. I'd rather not relive that again. I have a theory about this in terms of when he gets fired. I think there's three scenarios.
Okay.
One of them we might actually be approaching. If it's going to happen, it's either going to happen A, immediately, B, All-Star break, or three, late August, mid August, coming closer to the playoffs, maybe September. Okay. I don't know. Some at the end of the season.
I agree with two of those. I think it's getting very, very close. Like, I feel like at some point, Tony's just going to be like, fuck this. I don't want to keep getting blamed for everything. I'm fucking done. And that would be like a fever dream for me. Like, that would be the best thing I think I've ever witnessed in my life if he does that. I think All-Star break could happen, you know, and like people, I forgot who it was. Hang on. Let me find who tweeted this out yesterday, because I was so goddamn pissed about it. I know I retweeted it. Let's see.
Well,
it was Mark Patash. Is that how you say his name? Patash?
I think so, yeah.
He said the White Sox fall to 27-30. A year ago, the Braves were 29-32, didn't panic, didn't fire the manager, stayed the course, were buyers at the trade deadline, and ended up winning the World Series. And that was based off of somebody saying that Tony should be fired. About the fire Tony Chan. I want to respond back to that. The Braves last year and the Nationals in 2019 are two extreme outliers. I do agree that this day and age, October is all about who gets right at the hot at the right time. See, you know, 2019 Nationals, last year Braves, but also see the 2015, you know, Mets, where they ran to the World Series being a wild card team. I agree 1,000% with those. However, last year's Braves and this year's White Sox teams are so much different, because last year's Braves team embraced analytics at the All-Star break. It has shown that they were one of the last teams in the MLB in shift percentages in the first half of the season, and they were the first team in shift percentages in the second half of the season. I don't have those exact things, but I know for a fact that that's real. So, like, Tony would never, ever, ever do that. I want to say we're bottom five in MLB in shift percentages. And it's just like, that's where I keep bringing up the new way of thinking, the new age of baseball. It all really changed with Moneyball, with the A's, you know, changing, like, walk more guys, get more guys on base, and good things will happen. Tony doesn't view it that way. And it's showing.
Well, that was fantastic analysis, Scott. I really think that in terms of if he's going to get fired, I think we're in the Goldilocks zone. I think we're really, really on a concrete chance of him getting tossed.
Yes.
If this whole next week between this episode and next episode, we win the next we lose the next couple series, and there's another big flashpoint where he makes a huge, huge error and it costs a game. I think if we get into that range and that situation, I think there's a really, really good chance. Now, what do I mean by a really good chance? I mean, probably, like, I don't know, flip a coin. Maybe if he gets fired, maybe a little less than that, even like 45%. I think if it's going to be the All-Star break scenario, I think it's going to then, if we're going to have that, Tim Anderson, Eloy, Lynn are all going to come back, and the team has to be still disappointing leading up to the All-Star break. I'm talking still below 500, probably by greater than eight or greater games.
Yep.
I think there's a good chance. And then at the end of the season, we would have to be out of the playoff picture, wild card and division for him to get tossed.
I think a missed playoff would be the magical, I'm just going to retire again. I just want to spend time with my family. But in reality, it's just fucking Rick Hahn booting him in the ass and saying, get the fuck out of here. I don't watch you anyway. I'm very convinced that he won't get fired midseason just because it's Jerry, right? Like, this all comes back to our fucking brain dead of an owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, who honestly I haven't been critical of outside of this Tony hire. He's starting to somewhat give money for us to spend while Rick Hahn isn't spending in the right way. He is giving somewhat of money, and I know I'm in the minority there in believing that Jerry's doing all right, but I just don't see it happening, Jake. I wish I could say that I see it happening at the All-Star break. I just don't. I think the only way you're going to get it is if Tony gets fed up and says, fuck it, I'm done. That's the only way I see it at this point.
I think I completely agree, too. I think the only way that would be different is if Jerry and Tony did not have their prior history in this relationship. If this was a new relationship and this is a new manager, with no prior experience with the team, I think this is a different conversation. But since, you know, they're old country club buddies, whatever the fuck, this is the situation we have currently. Anyways, so enough about that. Great questions. Thank you, Matt and Tim Agote, for those suggestions. Now we talk about if Tony were to get fired, or let's just say when he gets fired, who will be his replacement? I know you were giving me a couple suggestions, Scott. Who are some of your guys that you would really like to replace Tony La Russa?
This is tough. Obviously, I told you that I was a big AJ Hinch guy. I thought he was the absolute correct guy. He was in the World Series before, and yes, like, he technically cheated. I still don't think he had a ton to do with it. I think he was trying to, you know, break it down more than what Beltran and Cora were doing. But my guy is Joe Espada. I can't pronounce his name. He's a bench coach.
Espada? Is that
Espada. He's the bench coach for the Astros. He's a guy that's getting a lot of steam as of late, especially the last couple of years where everybody's like, oh, maybe he'll get a manager spot this year. I think he's probably one of the top picks, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe he thinks that he's going to have the Astros job once Baker ends up retiring, because I think that's going to be down the pipeline here in a couple of years. So I maybe him. I like our double-A manager. He's a smart analytical guy that knows analytics. And I think, like, nowadays you need a guy that knows analytics.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think one guy that I think personally I wouldn't really mind seeing AJ Pierzynski in the managerial role. Now, I feel like this could be possible, not this season, however. I feel like it could be possible in a different kind of situation due to you know, David Ross getting hired by the Cubs, so there's a precedent there. But I just don't think in this situation, being in the middle of the season, that you hire him with no managerial experience.
Yeah.
Granted, I think the fit would be fun. The fans would love it. It just doesn't really make sense because, you know, you'd have to do extra onboarding on top of getting a guy used to the team as well. A lot of people want Bruce Bochy.
No, I'm passing.
While I think the sentiment makes sense. It's a guy who has experience, who has a ton of success, Hall of Famer, all that good stuff. But I mean, this is the shit that we just did. I think I know with Tony La Russa, I think this manager, I don't have any real names for you. I really like that Espada pick. I think we also talked about a bench coach down in Double A as well.
The head coach, Joel Gershire, however you say his last name. Evan would know that. Evan knows everything about, like, our Double A teams, which is crazy. But I think he's another good one. But once again, he's only in Double A. I don't know if I can trust it that much. Maybe one more year to get him in Triple A. Maybe some people want Miguel Cairo. I don't think I would really want that. But, you know, he was a guy that was, like, somewhat of a big name coming over, I believe, from the Yankees. So, you know, I don't really know. I don't have, like, that one guy in mind, because I think that we had the home run hire in AJ Hinch, where you think Alex Cora was a home run hire. Either or, I thought they were both home run hires, and we didn't hire either of them. So, and we were probably the most desirable spot the year that we hired Tony La Russa, right? Like, there's nobody. Maybe the Red Sox were the other hire, you know, very good spot to land up in, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, you mentioned Miguel Cairo. I think that would be a really, really likely pick for a replacement, definitely. I know a lot of the guys on the team respect Kurt Hassler as well, the bullpen coach.
I've heard
some of that as well.
I don't know about that one. Just because he's never really been in a managerial spot. You know, like, sure, pitching, bullpen, like, if he was a pitching coach, then sure, but he's just a bullpen guy. I'll probably pass on that one, too. The Bochy one, circling back to that one, I just feel like he's outdated as well. He's a great manager, but I feel like he might be a little bit outdated. But we see that these, like, outdated managers are getting fired. Like, You know, Joe Girardi got fired. Now the Phillies are on a 9-game win streak. Whether that's related or not, probably not. But it's still, like, something that you have to take into effect. And Joe Madden got fired during a 12-game losing streak. So, you know, people that want – people actually were saying to bring back Joe Madden to Chicago to coach us, and I'd rather – jump off a building than have that, to be totally honest.
I would hate that. That was so awful.
There's another guy, the bench coach for the Guardians, Sandy Alomar. Is that the name, right?
Yeah, Sandy Alomar, legendary second baseman.
Yeah.
Not second, but shortstop.
I think he's another name that might get a little bit of traction if this job were to open up. I know a lot of people wanted him at the last time. Once again, I don't know. It's so hard to say. Just because this hire was so goddamn awful.
Yeah, I mean, completely. I think if, you know, I'm looking at the upcoming schedule until next episode. Honestly, like, for me right now, it's more or less like, like you just said, I've kind of like before we recorded this episode, I was really upset kind of just letting this team get to me, all that kind of stuff. But the reality, you know, matter of the fact, end of the day, you can't change what happens on the field as much as you want to change it.
Yep.
And I think just the best thing right now is just, I don't know. I never like to root for someone's downfall, but something has to change. This, the way this team is right now, if everything stays the same and we just get the players back from injury, this team will not fulfill the potential of what they could actually be. If
yes,
the coach, all the commanders, all the coaches stay exactly the same, the roster stays exactly the same, whatever the fuck, this team will not do anything. So I'm really hoping for something drastic to happen, to be honest, to actually force them to change something. That's what Jake, I'm looking for.
Jake, I told you before, I was like, look, we lost. That's another day closer that we get rid of this fucking dinosaur. But I have more stats for you, and I feel like we can't, like, brush these by. So this was from Chris Kamka, and I have more based off of this. The White Sox, this was from yesterday. White Sox lose 11-9. The White Sox record when scoring at least 7 runs, okay? 2020 to 2021, when we scored at least 7 runs, we were 67-3. You want to take a crack at what we are this year?
We score more than 7 runs?
7 plus runs, yep.
7 plus runs. Well, let me actually just first decide how many I want to say actually games we have scored.
I'll say it's 9 games that we've scored 7 plus runs.
9. Okay. 9. I'm going to guess, Mr. Scott, 3-6.
Close. 4-5. We are 4-5 when scoring 7 plus runs. That is disgusting. Well, let me show you more. When we have scored 5 plus runs, we are 10-9. When scoring 8 plus, 1-3. When scoring 9 plus, 0-3. Or when scoring 9, 0-3. How? Explain to me how that's fucking possible that we are that bad when we score that many runs. Because the boys are actually starting to heat up the bats a little bit. It was a little bit quiet today, but then they started heating it up in the, you know, in the late innings. Dane Mendick with that weird triple. But, like, how is it that earlier in the season we couldn't hit, but we could pitch, and it was like 2-1 games that we were losing, and now we're losing fucking 11-9? Like, what the fuck?
The one thing we skipped over, too, that actually has a lot of importance to it is that Yasmani Grandal exited yesterday's game with some hamstring tightness.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's massive.
And luckily, he didn't get an IL stint, right? He was just unavailable. So, luckily, he didn't get an IL stint. That I can think of because they put on, I don't know. I don't remember what it was. He didn't get an IL spent though. But I told you, I texted you. He was heating up. He had 2 hits, or he had the 1 hit. I said, look, I listened to this on the pregame and it makes a lot of sense. He couldn't hit left-handed because his leg that he generated all the power was that bad leg. That kind of was his right leg, left leg. The left leg when he's generating all that power. From the right side, he was hitting fine because he could generate that power with his left leg or his right leg to turn.
Right leg.
So, for his right leg to turn, and that left leg was just kind of that plant leg. So maybe that's why he was hurting a little bit. Maybe, you know, a couple days off will help him, and he'll be able to switch to the left-hand side and be able to hit again. But it's just not good. I don't know.
You know, I I can't help but think too is like, and this is also, I want to reassure, this is not me at all trying to, you know, pump up the Sox or try to, you know, direct blame or whatever. I can't help but think though, if these games would look different these last couple series, if we had Tim Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, having Tim would be fantastic right now. Still hasn't started his rehab assignment. I think it should be sometime this week, they said. So maybe in a, you know, this time next week, he's, you know, a couple days away from coming back up. We definitely need him. He's the spark in this offense that we always talk about. We need him. We need a healthy Yoan. We need not only healthy Yoan, but a Yoan that can hit the fucking ball. We need a healthy Grandal, a Robert that isn't swinging at every down and away slider known to man. You know, we just need a lot of things to happen. And, you know, I don't know. I keep going back to Tony. It's not going to fix that, but, you know, at least maybe he'll provide some sort of spark. I don't know, Jake.
So, as we mentioned earlier, look, this week confirmed Lance Lynn tomorrow, correct?
Yes, Lance Lynn tomorrow, Cease on Tuesday.
Great. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Facing the Tigers as well, a team, knock on wood, that we've had success with against, you know, in this season. Maybe it's you know, fuck that. I'm not going to say maybe it's a turnaround series for the Sox. No. I'll call that. Let's see how they play tomorrow, whatever. I'm excited to see Lance Lynn on the bump, though. I don't know who is going to be going for the Tigers, but
I know this. I can't remember off the top of my head, though. Let me see if I can find it really quickly.
Yeah, I tried to find it, too. I don't know if they haven't announced it yet.
Or are they undecided right now? Okay.
Could be the situation. Anyways, but we will see.
Who's Garcia? Some guy with Romy Garcia.
Okay, all right. Romy, yeah. Gonzalez's evil twin, maybe?
Romy with an N, not an M.
Uh-oh. Oh, Romy Garcia. Romy, oh, geez. Yeah.
I also have to add into the fact, I just want to, I have a simple question. What is your favorite part of Yermin Mercedes on the Chicago White Sox? Because he was DFA'd today.
Yes. By the way, rest in peace, Yermin. I shall mourn him tonight. I don't know if I'm going to get much sleep. I think my favorite moment for Yermin, I mean, I remember listening to the Angels opening series last year. Mm-hmm. On the radio on the way home from Oak Lawn, the night that he got five hits on was that his debut?
Yeah,
that was the second game, or was that his debut?
Second game, I think. No, so debut. I don't know.
Either way, whatever game that was, I remember going home after watching the first four innings, and I was listening to Len Casper, and him calling that game was a really special moment. And he's bringing out the stats that has been done since World War One, all that kind of shit. So I think that's probably my top moment. What's your top moment?
That has to be up there. I also think that the home run off of Brad Keller, it was on my 21st birthday. I'm watching in my room at my apartment. He hit a home run and fucking bat flipped to the moon. It was pretty sweet. And I thought, man, we were going to win the World Series this year. And we all know how that went. You know, a couple weeks later, he got sent on AAA. By the way, we have not touched on this. I would just like to say that I'm a genius. I saw it coming. We talked about it last week. Gavin Sheets officially got sent down AAA. Hopefully he can find a swing down there, come back up, and give us a lefty that can actually hit the ball.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, watch out. Evan might cease and desist you. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, he also said that he wants Gavin to go down to AAA.
He can
have to go to court with him.
He can cease and desist me all he wants, but all he has to do is go to @WinningUglyPod on Twitter, look at the DMs and see that I sent before the season that I didn't think that Gavin Sheets was going to be good this year. And I was doming right there.
That is true. Honestly, you probably have the upper hand on that. Suck it, Evan.
Speaking of which, Evan, miss you. I'm glad that you're coming back next week or whenever you guys are doing it again. It's been fun the last couple of weeks, but I'm ready to be just the guest again whenever that is.
How are you feeling about your upcoming retirement? Your little mini retirement. You're gonna enjoy the kids because they get into the course.
El retiro, like
El retiro.
I'm just happy to fill in for you guys. It's it's been a lot of fun just talking White Sox baseball. I know that you said that you're going to have some time probably off here in a couple months or whatnot, so I'm glad to help out if you guys need it. If not, I'm just glad to be here. Just glad that everybody is, you know, listening, that's listening, whether it's, you know, 3 fans or 10,000 fans that are listening to us. I just think it's fun just talking White Sox baseball with literally anybody. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I feel like we touched on everything from this week. Sorry if I'm kind of cutting this off early. I just don't
know if we have anything else. Not at all. No, it's been fantastic to have you as a guest. So I think you fill the role swimmingly. I will say you will 100% be back on very soon. Maybe even we have all three of us back on next week. Who knows?
I'm down for anything. Hopefully, I mean, if we end up going undefeated like this whole next week, I'm gonna use my executive powers. I'm gonna come on and I'm just gonna say I was wrong. I will just admit that I was wrong. However, you know, we still have a lot of games against the AL Central. Maybe we turn the season around. I'm not holding my breath, though, like you are.
And that starts right here. So series starting tomorrow against the Tigers, and then we'll end the week with 3-game series against the Astros. Sunday night game, by the way, as well. So that's
interesting. Shit. Ew, gross.
Then we try to get some revenge against the Blue Jays. But anyways, I want to leave you off with something that's mildly irritating, a quote by Tony La Russa. When asked if Hendricks could have pitched in a safe situation, he said, "No, I'm telling you, he couldn't have pitched. He wasn't available to pitch at all. If we had the chance to save it, Kendall was going to save it."
Tell me why. Why, though? God. That's the question. I saw that earlier. Just why? He hasn't pitched since that, not yesterday, the game before? Why can he pitch? He's a closer for a reason. I don't know.
No idea.
Dinosaur.
Yeah, that's what I ask all you people listening out there, if you're still listening, why? Just ask yourself why in your daily life. Anyways, so that is it for episode 8. Thank you again so much to Scott for guest hosting these last couple weeks. You did an amazing job. I'm clapping.
Thank you.
That is a thunderous applause.
I hear that. I like it.
Thunderous. Yeah, no, it's huge. I can barely hear you. Anyways, follow us on Twitter, Winning Ugly Pod. Listen to us, obviously, right here on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all kind of stuff. Prepare for another week of disappointment, or just be like Scott, don't have any expectations at all, and your week won't be ruined.
Hey, we go 1-5. It's another day closer. Tony La Russa has to fucking leave this ball team. Let's just think about it that way, boys.
That's the spirit we want right there. Anyways, have a great day, guys. Go Sox.
Go Sox.